First thing is to approve the agenda. Mrs. Jennings, any changes in the agenda?
There are no changes.
And then a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
Second.
Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions? We'll take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Motion carried. We have the minutes of September 25th. Any questions, corrections on those? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
There is none, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. Mr. Guy, public comment? Paul Rigger.
Good morning. Paul Rigger, 18171 Deer Forest Road, Georgetown, Delaware. Last night, Board of Adjustment meeting, pretty good meeting as a whole. They actually did a pretty good job, except for two little issues. The first one was, and if you listen to this, it's what I've been stressing, they had an old case that seeks a special use exception for a garage studio apartment, sections 115, 21, 210. Basically, the people were, I guess, added on sometime, an attached part of the structure, added a second kitchen in it for the stove. Well, they deferred it at the last meeting and brought it back up last night under old business. The funny part is for a person to have a second stove, in this case in their house, to have two separate units, they need a conditional, the board recommended that they come in for a conditional use for a second stove in this house. It comes to show that with the Board of Adjustments, there is no rhyme or reason for what they can approve and cannot approve. You may want to start considering and seriously looking at, considering with all your problems there, is to put the Board of Adjustments just on variances. Let them do the setbacks for different things. Pull all the special uses away from them, which are ridiculous, for what they can, cannot prove. It's the most asinine system for county government that I can see in anything that I cross-referenced or read. It's a ridiculous body. Plus two is these breaks when you're starting a meeting at 7 o'clock and it goes to 9:20. There is no reason to pull a 10-minute break at 8 o'clock after you've been there, or 8:10 or 8:15. If one person has to go, then get up and go. It's like, Mr. Vincent, if anybody here has to go to the meeting, can you shut the meeting down, go into a pause for recess an hour, and so one member can
Maybe
go.
We should start to do that.
Just to prove my point that a whole meeting should not be disrupted because one person has to get up and go. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have a consent agenda with two items. First one is wastewater agreement number 1084, Sussex County project number 81-04, salt air. The Sierra Neck expansion at Bethany Sanitary Sewer District. And number two is wastewater agreement number 476-5, Sussex County project number 81-04, Windmill Woods Phase 4, Millville expansion at Bethany Sanitary Sewer District. Any questions on those two? Hearing none, entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Ms. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. First item is a proposed resolution for Sussex Goes Purple. The resolution is a resolution pledging Sussex County Council support for the Sussex Goes Purple initiative. Whereas opioid addiction in America, including the right here in Sussex County, is a deep and destructive societal concern that touches all walks of life, regardless of economic status. And whereas Delaware is seeing firsthand the effects of opioid epidemic, which includes the abuse of prescription pain relievers, heroin, and synthetic opioids such as fentanyl, with 345 fatal drug overdoses in the state in 2017, 64 of which occurred in Sussex County. And whereas in the same year, emergency responders in Sussex County administered overdose reversing drugs more than 570 times to nearly 400 individuals. And whereas awareness and education are the cornerstones in the fight to address what has been termed a national crisis and the stigmas often associated with it. And whereas, the National Project Purple campaign hopes to reverse these statistics by launching a local initiatives here in Delaware under the direction of Sussex County Health Coalition. And whereas, substance abuse and addiction are treatable and recovery is possible. And whereas, Sussex Goes Purple is aimed to bring about awareness, education, and prevention to combat the scourge that opioid addiction represents to our communities. And whereas, through community-driven efforts such as Sussex Goes Purple, lives can be saved and meaningful change can occur in our communities, one person at a time. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council does hereby join with other local governments across the state, region, and nation in proclaiming its support for Purple Project, declaring that Sussex County as a Goes Purple community and encourages all citizens to come together in the fight against opioid addiction. I make that resolution.
Okay. I think it would be good if we had a motion to approve that resolution, just so everybody knows we're all
move for adoption.
So, motion, Mr. Arlett. Yes. Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions? We'll take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Absolutely, and thank you for those that are on the ground floor making a difference, and we appreciate that.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, ma'am. Now.
And also, last week, council did mention they wanted to help financially. Based on the presentation last week and subsequent discussions with Peggy Geisler, I recommend $5,000 coming from the countywide youth grant for their youth prevention education program.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlett. Any questions on the motion?
Where's the money going to? Who's getting the money?
It's for their youth prevention education for Sussex Goes Purple. It's the presentation we had last week with Peggy Geisler.
Not a religious group, is it?
Oh, sir.
No, it's not.
That's all right, if it were, might be a change. We might be able to vote for it then.
Any more questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Happily, yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Oppo, yes. Motion carried.
I didn't see that on agenda.
Proposed resolution?
But that $5,000. I never saw a thing on the agenda about that. Well, that's not good. We should have time to look at this ahead of time, shouldn't we?
Thank you, sir.
When we spend $5,000, we at least know what's going on.
Well, I think last week we said we would consider some kind of financial help
I didn't see a thing on it. I said how much money we're going to spend.
Okay. Point well taken.
Yep.
Next, ma'am.
So the next item is the administrator's report. The first item is the comprehensive land use plan workshop. Sussex County Council will host a comprehensive land use plan workshop on Monday, October 15, 2018 at 10 a.m. in Council Chambers. The focus of the workshop will be the comments on the draft comp plan received from the Office of State Planning and the Council's responses to the comments. Item number two, projects receiving substantial completion. Per the attached engineering department fact sheets, Route 24 Elementary School, Love Creek, and Americana Bayside, Melson property, phases 1 and 2 receive substantial completion effective September 24th and September 25th, respectfully. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Bedlars.
Good morning, Mr. President and council members. I'll make it brief because I'm holding up the main event.
There you go.
But the two items we have on the agenda on the engineering department are both good news items. You know from the, I gave you the history on the Heron Creek project as well as the history of the North Planning Area Whitman and Record contract. And if you put the two together, they are in the same area, the Heron Creek obviously in the North Planning Area. You had previously approved the initial amendment to the base, the EJCDC base contract to include the aerial mapping, environmental assessment, and some baseline survey. With all the funding in place now, we are happy to request that we would award the engineering service for the entire design packages for Heron Creek of all three phases. And we will be back to get the authorization on the bond at a later point once we have all that documentation in place. Ms. Jennings and I are working on that. But today is for the engineering services for Whitman and Record under the North Planning Area EJCDC agreement, base agreement. If you
have a motion. Mind.
Yes, I do have a motion. And keep in mind, it may appear like a large number, but this is a $20 million plus, almost $21 million contract overall construction project. So the engineering services, I believe, are well in line with the actual effort. Be it removed based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that amendment number one to the EJCDC base engineering contract for the Heron Creek Sanitary Sewer District with Whitman Record and Associates be approved in the amount not to exceed $743,534 for final design of the overall Heron Creek Sanitary Sewer District pump stations, force main, and gravity collection systems.
Okay, just so I'm sure on the right thing here, I think you said Amendment 1, it is Amendment 14?
Amendment 14, good point. It is Amendment number 1. When we set the agenda, we did not realize that it would fall under the EJCDC. And the reason for that, my apologies, Mr. President, USDA as the funding agency requires that form of contract.
Gotcha, okay.
Excellent catch. Otherwise, it would have been number 14.
Okay.
You hit 4 by mistake, correct?
Pardon me?
You hit 4 by mistake.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. I just added the 4.
Pleasure, counsel, on the motion.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
Second.
Second, Mr. Caldwell. Any questions?
This is a user's fee, correct?
Wilson.
100%.
Okay, I'll vote for it.
Any more questions? We'll take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next, sir.
The next one gives you the history of the county's relationship with the city of Rehoboth Beach, that is, on the wastewater side, not the water side, the wastewater side, which spells out where we are contractually, what you have authorized so far, such as the agreement to jointly do phase number 2 of the wastewater treatment plant improvements at the Rehoboth plant, which we grouped together with the South Coastal improvements. That is progressing very nicely. It also gives you the status of where we are with the GHD contract. You remember they are the engineers of record for South Coastal as well as the City of Rehoboth Wastewater Treatment Facility. When you look at our capital plan, we have the city improvements on our capital plan and the city wastewater treatment plan improvements, of course, under the cost share, not as a total, but under the cost share. What we also have on the agenda is the extension of raw sewer service territory to the wastewater treatment plant in Rehoboth. That is on our approved capital plan, and the that particular contract for today under your consideration would be the connection to the wastewater treatment plant from the western area with a piped pressure system underneath the Lewis-Rehoboth Canal. So okay. That is that particular item. That's the design and permitting for that function, which would be then follow up with a construction contract.
Okay, you have a motion?
I have a motion for that one. Be moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that amendment number 15 to the base engineering contract with GHD Incorporated be approved in the amount not to exceed $175,000 for design services on an interconnection between two pump stations in Rehoboth, between two pump stations in Rehoboth, Delaware, and the City of Rehoboth Wastewater Treatment Plant.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
Second.
Mr. Cole. Any questions? We'll take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I will be a motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I'm going to step aside.
Mr. Ashman.
We will do a joint performance, and I think we will have to, first of all, recognize some people in the audience.
Boy, you help yourself.
If I may.
You go right ahead.
We have 3 key members of our community in the greater Ellendale area whose tireless effort in achieving the milestone today should be realized. Ms. Price, please raise your hand. Mr. Truxton and Bishop Foster. So, because without their efforts, we, Mr. Ashman and I, would not be here.
Now, I noticed he didn't get an applause, though, he won't.
So, you see the map in front of you here. You saw what you had in your packet. And we're happy to tell you that the referendum passed overwhelmingly, and you had the results in your packet. But I want to sort of point you out how we got here and why we are here today. First of all, the previous referendum, which was essentially encompassing the greater sewer district with some minor adjustments, it failed last November, a year ago, November 4th. The mentioned folks in the audience approached us earlier this year with a new series of petitions, which we mapped, and Mr. Ashman and I concluded that the vast majority of the petitioners could be served with the district you see here, in which you approved the boundary and you approved to go to the referendum. And that boundary was advertised, that referendum was held, and the results we have today with a 4-1 majority win is what we're voting on today. And it's a vote which is County Council has to act within a timeline, there's a 90-day window, we have to act, and we have to recognize the results of the referendum. Remember, it was a big discussion whether council has the choice whether this can be amended. Now, this is a pro forma step, and council, please chime in. The Delaware Code is very clear. We act based on the will of the people and the will of the people we have heard. So what you have before you today is, and that's a standalone. Remember, the sewer district is a unified district. This is a standalone water district. This is clearly a critical achievement to have the Western Ellendale Sewer District, but it's really called, it's the Ellendale Sewer District, is before Water District. Thank you. I'm here to help me. Is before you on a standalone vote. So, what it does, when you vote today, it does several things. According to the state code, you are required to establish district, but you also authorize the attorney and the engineer to secure the right-of-ways. You also direct us to prepare the documentation, and you allow the finance director and the county engineer, once it's created, you created the legal entity to apply for the appropriate funding. And yes, you all know, and Mr. Wilson certainly does know that, a lot of grant money is required to make this happen. Grant money.
And you always put your money in a pot, help them out, right?
We will have to receive the grant money from the state of Delaware. We have certainly received assurances that this is all moving in the right direction. So, by your vote today, you're authorizing these various steps by Delaware Code. Attorney is authorized to do certain things. County engineer is authorized to do certain things. The finance director is authorized to do certain things. So at this point, we are at this somewhat historical moment.
Well, in that case, I guess, Mr. Ashwood, you've got, let's move this thing right along. It wouldn't hold up any longer. So.
It took all my thunder, so I agree with the resolution.
Add to it.
The resolution, the Ellendale Water District declared under the provisions of Title IX, Chapter 65 of the Delaware Code, whereas the eligible voters of the proposed Ellendale Water District approved the creation of the Water District by a vote of 81-21 in an election held on September 15th, 2018.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett. Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions?
So how do you get that many people?
Mr. Wilson.
How do you get that many people convinced to vote different? What do you have to say to do that?
The original vote included the town boundary, all of the town boundary.
And some of the west.
And some of what you see there and a little bit to the west of that crosshatch boundary. The new petitions came in, sort of zeroed in more on that north and south Old State Road area. So that kind of brings the boundary in.
So which way is north and south on this map?
Up would be, north would be up.
Just like you see it. This
is
our north, this is our south.
And as you can see, the vast majority of the petitioners were concentrated in the area. This is the area we targeted. This is also the area where we have a good synergy with the Artesian Water Company. Because of their expansion.
Is that with Wheatley?
No, that's Mr. Wheatley is the owner and developer of Ingram Town Village. That's where the water plant is located, which will be the supply for that district. But the interaction, and we will, once you authorize the engineering department, legal counsel, and the finance director. Mr. Wilson, one of the next steps I will bring forward to you is the agreement with the Artesian Water Company, as well as the authorization to request for the submittal of the funding. So you're going to put the dominoes in motion here by pushing the first one over, which is today.
Any more questions?
When y'all get that good word, we're all going to be well in the mood. Back to 82, right?
I think it truly dates back for well over 25 years, yes.
Yeah.
Let me state one thing. The voters approved a certain approach which had a financial limit. And we, Ms. Jennings and I, and you as council, will be prepared to hold the line on this. And that's why I say it will require many grants from funding sources to make it happen, but we believe we can do that.
Any more questions?
I just was going to ask one. I think you may have just answered it, but I just want to make sure I ask the question so you can. How long is this process since one of the first original requests in Ellendale for this? How many years has it been?
I started here in 2006, and I think I've been working back and forth with Ellendale since then. There was an initial vote that went to Artesian vote. Did it ever go to a final vote with Artesian?
Yes.
And that one failed, and then we've been back in three times.
So 12 years?
It probably goes
beyond that.
It does.
That's when I got into it.
if I may add to that, Mr. Truxton, I was involved in the sewer district initially. And Mr. Truxton, in the sewer district discussions, even then said, why don't we provide both utilities? So in his mind, if I may say this correctly, it goes back to the days of the sewer district creation, which is almost 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When it started.
Yeah. 30 years, your community has been desperate for quality water. 35 years. It is a very historic day then.
Any more questions of the council? We're going to take the vote. Mr. Arlett.
35 years in waiting, I will tell you, I think good quality water is as expected as is good quality air. And I think that is the role of any and all governments at all levels. And those who don't understand that shouldn't be in office. So on that note, I would be happily say yes. So thank you for being here.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Of course, yes.
Thank you.
I will certainly vote yes. Motion carried. Certainly want to thank the engineering department and your staff for our third try. Third was a thing, right? So, but working hard as you all have done, and I'm sure they appreciate that. And thank you all for hanging in there and finally figuring out where it would work and doing that. So congratulations to everybody involved, and hopefully we'll move this along very expeditiously.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have the engineering department, and the finance department are committed to move it along expeditiously.
Absolutely.
However, requiring a lot of grant funding, and I advise the community, it may require two fiscal year funding cycles. You know this.
Sure.
And just want to make sure we don't set unrealistic expectations, but the community, U.S. Council, have our commitment that we're moving it forward as fast as it will go.
Hans, I would only suggest, Mr. President, is if there's an opportunity for us to expedite the process sooner versus later, if it's a financial thing, i.e. a decision of five people here, then I would want to know that.
Yes.
Or, you know, sooner versus later, because I know George and I are coming off in about 3 months, and so if there's an opportunity to expedite that process.
I will try to get at least the Artesian Water Company agreement before you, which essentially puts some of the financial milestones in place.
That'd be good. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Okay, Mr. Ashman, you have one more thing? You're up next. You're still there, buddy.
Yes, I get to stick around. This is a infrastructure use agreement for the Silver Woods project, basically listed as Miller Creek. As part of the county's proactive wastewater infrastructure planning that you received the presentation in 2016, we developed these existing infrastructure agreements. This agreement will allow Silverwood's developers to connect 97.83 EDUs to the existing infrastructure in exchange for $23,650. This agreement pertains only to the approved single-family homes and clubhouse, and separate subsequent infrastructure agreements will be required for the multifamily and the commercial parcels that are in this pump station drainage basin. Payment will be prior to substantial completion of the on-site pump station for the project, and the developer has executed the agreement, and we are now asking your permission for Council President to execute as well.
Have a motion?
I do. Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, that Sussex County Council approves the use of existing infrastructure agreement between Sussex County and Silverstock WP LLC for capacity allocation in the regional transmission system as presented on October 2nd, 2018.
Now, this is money developers put up, correct?
What's that?
I said, is this the money developers put up?
Yes,
Into the fund?
Yes.
Okay.
Entertained motion.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
Second.
Mr. Wilson. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's now time for our advertised 10:30 public hearing. Mr. Moore?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. And prior to reading the rules of procedure that I normally would, I'd like to point out that...
Hold on just a second. We have a little hugs or whatever here.
It's Hugging Engineer Day.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that advertised. That's good. That's good.
I do this once a year, Mike.
Mr. Wilson wants to hug a councilman day, I think, too, next.
Thank you all. Thank you
Thank
for
you.
Being here.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
See you, Mr. Crooks.
It's <That's> true.
Probably too old to run again.
Okay, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. As I was saying, prior to reading the rules of procedure for our zoning hearings, I'd like to point out that this is a very unique situation, that back on September 11th, this council approved reopening the public record and for it to be re-advertised for the very limited purpose of considering a substitute condition J, which described setbacks, forested setbacks between this applicant and surrounding property owners. So for the purpose of this public hearing, it is for that very limited purpose. So at this point, I will read the rules of procedure for County Council zoning hearings. When Council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because Council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County, in its zoning and land use decisions, does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, source of income, sex, creed, marital status, age, gender identity, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each application shall be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the P&Z hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the P&Z hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. I will point out in this case, on this limited issue we're talking about today, it did not go back through the planning and zoning process. There was already the planning and zoning hearing. As there was a hearing before this body, this body had not acted on that at this point. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or question. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front, stand at speaker stand, state your name and home address before you make a statement. Please sign the sheet at the speaker stand. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to me and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to switch it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on the application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the P&Z Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. And Mr. President, this hearing is on conditional use number 2129 for the limited person I previously outlined. Ms. Cornwell.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So the Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on back in May. Then the County Council held a public hearing on June 12th of this year. At that time, the Planning and Zoning Commission had not made a recommendation, so you deferred for further consideration. At their June 14th public hearing, the Planning Commission didn't make a recommendation of approval for reasons 1 through 8 and conditions 9A through O. At that time, there was an agreement between the property owners that was made after the public hearing had been closed to address some of the items that were concerned from the Planning and Zoning Commission. So again, the adjacent property owner who had had some concerns at the Planning and Zoning Commission talked to the property owner. They revised their site plan to address some of those concerns. Those concerns are not reflected in the Planning and Zoning Commission's recommendations because they happened after the Planning and Zoning Commission. So County Council stated to allow for the reopening of the public hearing to get that information regarding the limited purpose of the agreement that happened between the property owner and the adjacent neighbor to be in the record for your consideration as part of this public hearing for the application.
Thank you.
Okay. Any questions? Not Mr. Fuquay.
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
For the record, my name is Jim Fuquay. I represent the applicant, Brian Lessard, who is seated right back here. And just to remind you, this is about the application for a storage facility at Argo's Corner, if you remember. The limited purpose of this, and thank you very much for scheduling this, I appreciate it. I had submitted a letter on August 21st requesting that the record in this application be reopened for the sole purpose of actually including my letter in the record. Due to the unusual circumstances, which I explained in the letter, and I won't repeat that unless you have any questions about that. But it was a question of timing and moving parts that it was just an unusual situation. And I will state that between the fact that you didn't have the planning and zoning recommendation and the fact that we were working with the neighbors to try to resolve their concerns, it slipped by me, and I should have requested that the record remain open so we could report back to you with that information. I didn't do that. The record was closed, and that basically is why we're here today. To sum up the situation, the Planning Commission and the Council had suggested that Mr. Lessard meet with some of the neighbors to try to work out some of the concerns that were expressed. Actually, the only concern that was really expressed was by one neighbor, and we met with him after the Planning and Zoning meeting and did reach an agreement with him, which I actually presented to the Council. But Mr. Burton asked if we had met with the other two neighbors, which we hadn't at that time, and also Mr. Burton had some concern about the location of some parking. Again, to sum it up, Mr. Lessard met with the neighbors and has made modifications to the site plan for the proposed storage facility. Those changes are the ones that were requested and agreed to by the neighbors. The modifications include increased building setbacks, fence location, additional landscaping, an additional privacy fence, and the relocation of some parking spaces. The revised site plan with the modifications is attached to my letter, as is a substitute condition J, which would replace the commission's condition J. And basically, that substitute condition J incorporates the revisions agreed to with the neighbors, which are shown on the site plan. If you were just looking on the site plan, it doesn't necessarily, it's not clear exactly what's going on, so that's why the revised condition was done. The commission did recommend approval of the application, and we do request your approval for the reasons that were stated by the commission and subject to the conditions that were recommended by the commission, and that's conditions A through O, with the one exception being the substitute of the revised condition J in place of the original condition J. And again, as I said, that condition reflects the agreement between the applicant and his neighbors. So that basically is everything I have to say, unless you have any questions.
Mr. Fuqua, could you read the substitute J into the record, and could you give me a copy, please?
Certainly. And again, I would just say that just hearing it verbally doesn't make much sense without actually seeing the site plan with these changes. But basically, it says, for the benefit of tax map parcels 230, 7, 9501, 94, and 93, and they are the neighboring property owners, the applicant shall revise the site plan to provide the following. A, building 1 shall have a setback of 20 feet from parcel 9501 and 25 feet from parcel 93. B, a 6-foot high chain link fence shall be erected along the boundary of parcel 9501, starting at the gate and running along the west, south, and east boundary of parcel 9501 and the south boundary of parcel 94. The fence shall continue along the west boundary of parcel 93, starting at a point adjacent to parcel 94 and 25 feet west of the boundary of parcel 93, extending to the northeast corner of building number 1. C, a continuous row of giant arborvitae for buffering shall be planted along the boundaries of the site with parcels 9501, 94, and 93. D, parking along the west boundary of parcel 9501 shall be eliminated and relocated to the northern boundary of the site. E, the 80 parking spaces for storage of vehicles, boats, campers, RVs, shall be marked and numbered on the site plan. F, a 6-foot-high shadow box privacy fence shall be erected along the south boundary of parcel 94 and the west boundary of parcel 93, extending from a point being the corner for parcel 94, 93, and the site to a point parallel to the northeast corner of building 1 and extending from the southeast corner of building 1 to the southwest corner of the water tank site. These conditions shall be incorporated into the preliminary and final site plans. That's the revised condition J, and as I said, when you see the site plan, it makes a little more sense than just reading
it. And we don't have available any picture of this revised? We don't.
It wasn't.
Okay.
I have it here, if I can just...
just to refresh our memories here a little bit.
This is in the record. It's submitted with my letter, so this is the whole site plan.
Okay.
And then I blew up the part where... Okay. These things that I just was talking about.
Okay.
So that is in the record. Yeah, so it is in the record. As I said, it's in the letter that I submitted.
Okay.
And these were concerns that were raised either by planning and zoning?
They really weren't raised. The only, at the planning and zoning meeting,
from the neighbors.
The one neighbor had concerns. Planning and Zoning asked that we meet with him, which we did, and we worked that all out with him, and then, and I presented that to the council, and at the council meeting, Mr. Burton asked if we met with the other neighbors, which was certainly a legitimate question, and we hadn't at that time, so we went back after that meeting and met with them, and not all the neighbors wanted exactly the same thing, so that's why it's kind of wordy in the condition.
Okay.
But that, to my understanding, that was the agreement, and I think the best condition is the condition that the actual people impacted by it agreed to.
Sure.
Yes.
Any more questions, Council?
No.
Mr. Fuqua, do you have anything else to add?
No, that's everything I have.
Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in regards to this matter? Anyone else first in favor of this? Anyone in favor? Anyone opposing this matter? Anyone opposing?
As he's walking down, are we talking about in favor of the change?
The change, that's
only.
The change.
And now this is only against the change.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, just to reaffirm. Thank you.
I'm just here to question two things. One is, after that, did the three neighbors all get pretty much equal setbacks versus the one that just showed up at the last hearing, at the county council hearing, versus the other ones that showed up at the planning and zoning? Are they pretty much, after that, going down that side, did they all end up with the same setbacks? The other major point, though, for a question, and this may just be a legal question, and this comes back to the agendas and trying to get specific and looking at it. This was advertised on the agenda and everything as a GR. When you have one parcel that's an AR, one parcel that's a GR, during a planning and zoning hearing, one of the other documents was read in as an AR and a GR as the parcel being that. But everything that keeps going out legal and stuff, it seems like just with the advertisements, we're not double checking, cross checking, making things specific. The only reason this caught me was because it said GR. If it had AR and GR, I probably would have looked at it also because it said GR. But if they had just went with AR, I probably wouldn't have looked at it. Just mainly concerned with the GR. So if it's not advertised for the district, does that hold any merit in the hearing, or how is that all looked at going forward from a legal standpoint? How technical does planning and zoning staff have to do when they advertise these? Do they have to advertise the correct districts? Do they have to advertise correctly what they are and everything in that nature? And invest in getting this correct.
Thank you. Anyone else that would like to speak in opposition to this matter? Seeing none, Mr. President, at this point we can close this public hearing. And then if the council would like to close the public record, we could do so at that point. And the question we would have to, how we would have to present this would be first vote on the actual change of J. Then after that, we could vote on the entire matter with the amended condition.
Okay.
Before we close, just to the comments that were just addressed, is that something that we should address now or not? It was a public hearing, so I'm just wondering if it's something that we should.
Which one would you want addressed?
I guess about the details of the advertising.
Well, in the short title that's advertised, it has the correct tax map and parcel number. It's advertised in the press that way, as well as, I believe it was posted as well, Janelle, so anyone neighboring would see that. Plus, it indicates what the use is going to be, and that would put people on notice that this is concerning my property, and that, or it's next to me, it's in my neighborhood, so they could show up in the proposed use.
There was a concern, I just want to make sure we feel we did the right thing.
Yes.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Any more questions? We will close the public hearing. If it's okay with council, close public comment.
I'll make a motion to close it.
Okay. And then, Mr. Moore, if you'd read the short title.
First, I believe it would be just the short title and the
amendment.
amendment. Mm-hmm. And the ordinance grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for mini storage buildings to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 11.70 acres, more or less. For the reasons planning and zoning gave at their initial hearing, 1 through 8, with their initial conditions, A through O, with our public hearing today, strictly on the J, condition J. If
okay. Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion.
Wait a minute. No. We are voting just on the amendment to J. Yeah. So someone needs to move that we accept the amended J.
Move that we accept the amended J.
As read into the record by
as
Mr. Pugh.
As presented just now in the public hearing.
Motion, Mr. Arlette. Second, Mr. Wilson. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. This is only on the amended J. Mr. Arlette?
Based on the testimony we have just heard, I will vote yes.
Mr. Wilson?
I vote yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Now then, Mr. Moore?
Yes. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for mini storage buildings to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 11.70 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning zoning 1 through 8, and with conditions A through O, with the new amended condition just approved by Council J.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption as amended.
Motion, Mr. Arlette.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlette.
Yes, based on the public record and recommendation of planning and zoning, I will vote yes in favor.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes on recommendations of P&Z's, on P&Z.
Mr. Cole.
Yes, for the same reasons, yes.
I also agree with planning and zoning recommendations and the amendment. I'll vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Mr. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have 4 grants for your consideration. The first one is Chesapeake Conservancy is requesting $5,000 for their Oyster House project. This project is to create a trailhead and access point to the Captain John Smith Chesapeake National Historic Trail and Nanticoke River Corridor. There have been no past grants Mr. Vincent placed on the agenda.
Thank you. This is the for those of you who don't know, many, 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 many years ago, oystering was a big thing in Seaford. And what they want to do is replicate one of the old oyster houses and make it some kind of a canoe launch area and just use Nanticoke River. The Nature Conservancy bought the land and gave it to the city. And now they want some money to help put together an engineering artist look of what it would look like, to start getting some money from other people, grant money, and raise money within the city of Seaford area and around there. So if someone make a motion to grant the $5,000 to my account, that'd be good.
I will make the motion that we give the funding towards the Vincent Oyster House project.
It's not a Vincent Oyster House. It's okay. Motion, Mr. Cole.
I will second the motion.
Second, Mr. Arlette.
Less the name.
Yeah,
the reference name.
I know your fondness of oysters.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I have a yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay, next one is Clothing Our Kids is requesting $2,000 to help purchase clothes for at-risk elementary school children. This program strives to improve the lives of at-risk children by providing appropriate school clothing for less fortunate children attending public schools throughout Sussex County. Last grant received was $2,000 from the Countywide Youth Grant.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlette. Any questions on that motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried.
Okay, next one is the Marine Corps League Devil Dogs Detachment 780. They're requesting $500 for their 243rd Marine Corps League birthday ball. The funds raised for this event support the following: Marine Toys for Tots Foundation, Eagle Scout Court of Honor, and Delaware Veterans Trust Fund. Last grant received for this event was $500, which was $100 from each council person.
So moved.
Motion, second. Mr. Cole, second. Mr. Arlette. Any questions? Take the vote. Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
And the last one is the Bridgeville Apple Scrapple Festival is requesting $3,000 for their annual festival that promotes agribusiness and tourism in Western Sussex County. Last grant received for this event was $1,500, which was $900 from Mr. Vincent and $300 from Mr. Arlett and Mr. Wilson.
Pleasure, Council.
They're requesting how much? What was
$3,000.
The amount?
$3,000.
I would suggest we divide it by five.
Five?
Why not? You have a lot of people from your area going.
And we have a lot of activities on our side that support tourism and other things you guys can support.
But you care about agribusiness, right? And tourism. I know.
I love Scrapple.
Yes, you do.
There you go. And apples, too.
I'm thinking it would only make sense that that's what we do. 3,000 divided by five.
Better than that.
I'm telling you.
And a fried egg.
Isn't that a profit, profit what they're doing?
Is it a profit?
Don't they make a profit what they're doing?
I would assume, Mr. Wilson, that the vendors who set up that sell things, I hope they make a profit. That's why they're there. But the town doesn't make a profit.
Well, they pay pretty good on those sidewalks.
I would suggest that
either that or we do $3,000 from Mr. Burton's because he's not here.
No, I would suggest that Mr. Wilson, Mr. Vincent, and Mr. Arlett figure out how they'd like to divide this up. And Mr.
Well, listen, they want $3,000.
They want $3,000. The last one was $1,500.
Doesn't mean they get it.
No.
There you go.
I'm trying to see if it's really. I'm okay with $2,000. And my suggestion would be that $2,000 would be $1,000 from my Council Mac account. And $1,000 Mr. Wilson's Council Mac account.
I'll second that.
Now, I can't make the motions. So
I will do the $3,000 because we'll add $1,000 for my Council Mac.
I'll make that motion.
Okay. The request is $3,000,
yes,
right?
It is.
So I think it's one of the best events in our county.
Motion and a second.
Yes.
Grant $3,000 to Bridgeville Apple Scrapple Festival for federal expenses being $1,000 from my Council Mac account, $1,000 Mr. Wilson's Council Mac account. That's okay. And $1,000, Mr. Arlett's.
Okay. You stand right just like you want to spend it.
Mm-hmm. Any questions?
Well, you get a vote on it now.
I'll take care of you next time, Mike.
Mr. Wilson,
it was motioned, it was second, so now you get a vote.
I haven't caught up with you yet, so you got mine. It's okay. We're going to take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
I will absolutely say yes because it is one of our better events in our entire county.
Mr. Wilson?
No.
Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, Mr. Wilson, for your contribution.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
Introduction proposed zoning ordinances, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President.
There's
one, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a landscaping business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 4.26 acres, more or less, and it's in Mr. Burton's district.
I'll introduce it.
Mr. Cole introduces it.
That is all.
Council member comments. Council member comments. Anybody?
You guys in, Mr. Arlett?
Only once.
I'm sitting here and I came across this good article about flooding impacts home values. And I would like, we're having a buffer zone workshop coming up, right?
Okay.
Everett, I don't know who's taking charge here, but Robin. But I would request that somebody would research and pull that article. They referenced a couple studies in there, which were very interesting, about the impact of flooding concerns with educated buyers, that are whether they're primary residents or second homes. And actually, the studies are showing that in Delaware, they haven't studied Delaware, I will say that. But other coastal states, they've seen an impact on where values are dropping in these coastal areas, so that which impacts counties' tax bases and other things. So anyway, I think it's just, as I went through this article, it's an excellent article, and I think it might shed some light on.
George, are you thinking your property? Is that why you're concerned?
No, sir. I'm like a smart farmer. I bought on the high ground.
There you go. Ms. Jennings, if you could make a note and get that article for Mr.
But it was in, I can reference it. It was about coastal development, and the article was written by a man, Lori, of the News Journal and the USA Today Network. But it included.
But you got a copy of it. Right
well,
in front
it's,
of
it's
you.
Right here, yeah. It's
well,
in,
maybe
you
can hand
it,
that too.
I will. But anyway, but the studies that are important, not the article so much, was the Penn State University and the University of Colorado. And then there was a University of Delaware professor said that there's no local studies at this time, but those two studies might have some.
Then that Colorado, they start to know what's going on here in Delaware.
They're looking at nationwide issues and stuff like that, but it was in the...
Right, George?
Any more council or comments?
Just one, Michael.
Mr. Orlin.
Very quickly, and I just wanted to, again, say publicly that I look forward to the Delaware Day at the White House on Thursday, being there with the administration and looking to find ways that our local governments and state governments can work together with the administration for the benefit of all people.
That'd be a good thing.
So, yes.
Any more council or comments?
Sam, you got anything today? Because you were...
He's thinking.
You were wound up this morning?
I was going to say some more. Mike wouldn't let me say nothing. Mr. President wouldn't let me say more, so I have to quit.
And then motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlett, second.
Second.
Mr. Wilson, any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. We're now adjourned. Thank you, and thank you.